At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. In just 1 minute, we'll be here with Kedrick Prince, and then we'll have Brad Sturdy stop in to talk about the Illini victory, 87-64 over Valpo. Hang on. It's a good conversation. Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by broadcasting on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. We have over 20 stations, including stations in Chicago, St. Louis, Champaign, Decatur, Springfield, Bloomington, the Quad Cities, Rockford, Peoria, Marion, Quincy, and Jacksonville, amongst others. You can reach over 11 million people in the state of Illinois by partnering with us. Send me an email, mike@IlliniGuys.com, and let's find a way that we can build your business together. This is Mike Kegley here with Kedrick Prince. We're going to talk a little bit about a victory over Valpo minus Coleman Hawkins that was a little bit more challenging than what Illini fans wanted to see. The Illini were down 45-38, Ked, at the half.
You know what? It was an uninspired effort in the first half. But on the flip side of it, you know, we got to start giving these other teams some credit. I mean, this isn't, you know, like it was a long time ago, Mike. I mean, some of these teams are you know, they're good. I mean, Michigan got beat at home tonight by Long Beach State, I believe. So, you know, and I have to give kudos to Coach Roger Powell. He ran some good stuff. He learned a lot. I like the sets that he ran. His offense was great. And when they needed a bucket, that two-man game he had was working. I really liked it. Once he gets some players, I mean, because you know what? He's learned under Mark Few. So, you know, he understands the game, and, you know, I, you know, heard him at halftime talk about just trying to give his kids a chance to win, and he knew Illinois was going to make a run, and luckily, you know, they did. But, you know, I don't want to say I'm concerned because I don't want to panic. I mean, I don't want to sound like that because you watch all these other games, and teams are just getting beaten. I mean, I don't think the days of just dominating all the time is going to be that way. Should they have blown them out? Yeah, it shouldn't have been that close. They don't make anything easy. The free throw thing for me now, it is a legitimate concern. I don't care what happened against Marquette the other day. I'm concerned.
Yeah, 12 for 24 is frustrating, and danger going 0 for 6 is tough. And of course, if you know, the nice thing was is you had, you know, Rogers ended up 2 for 2 tonight. Shannon was 5 for 6, so he's kind of back on the thing. Domask was 2 for 3, so, you know, danger was probably the biggest issue there. And for folks who wonder sometimes why he doesn't play as much, particularly at the end of a half or a game, he's too easy foul. He's too easy to foul, and then it, you know, if he goes to the free throw line, misses the front end to one-on-one, what do you call that, kid?
The Kedrick Prince turnover.
That's exactly it. And so for folks who don't think about it, if you don't attempt a shot and you get the free throw, you miss it, that's the same as throwing the ball out of bounds, kicking it out of bounds, traveling, whatever. And that's the issue you run into with Dane. Now, offensively, he could overpower these guys, and he did a good job. But you wonder, you know, with a few more free throws, this does turn into, you know, more of a blowout, even with a bad first half.
I mean, it is a concern. I mean, he left points on the board. He could have had 22 points tonight. He really could have, you know, and no, you're not going to make all of them. So let's say 20. But he wasn't even close. That's what was concerning to me. And I love the bench, the coaches. They show no emotion, but they're human. I know they cringe just like everybody else did who watched it, because, like we just, like you just mentioned, it's just giving them the ball, and he is good. I mean, I'm sorry. I think he's really good in the post. I think he gives Illinois something that they don't have, even if Coleman Hawkins is healthy. You know, I like Dane, but he has to fix the free throw shooting. You know, you at least got to shoot 60%. Kofi Coburn, lot bigger, much bigger hands, shot 60%. Give your team a chance because – and yourself, you know, because he's – I know it's all mental with him, but – you know, that's a concern moving forward. But at the end of the day, they won because they could be like other teams that we mentioned because you could get beat. You know, Michigan lost to James Madison at home. So take the win. I mean, I know people are frustrated, and that's what people do. But take the win because it could be a lot worse. Because if they would have lost tonight, people wouldn't have slept easy. I can assure you that.
Yeah, the other question I had for you is, you know, just looking through the stat sheet, when you see the two teams tied with 15 offensive rebounds each, that I thought was a little concerning just from the fact that you don't want to allow a team like this to get the offensive boards. And God help you if, you know, if that's Purdue or Michigan or Indiana banging the glass that hard.
Mike, I call those 50-50 balls, and I'm going to tell you, I think personally, this is me, that is 60% of the reason Illinois lost to Marquette the other night. They got every 50-50 ball. Every ball, because there was twice that people who have access to go back to watch their game, there was two or three times Illinois was up by two or three or tied, and they got the offensive rebound and they scored on it, and it was either a three or a three-point play. Though it matters. And I mean, and this, I don't want to say it's from lack of effort because I do think they're trying. They're just not coming up with those balls. And that's why they call 50-50 balls. And the offensive rebounding, Illinois is a very good a good rebounding team. I mean, Coleman Hawkins, when he's playing, he rebounds well. Imani Hansberry, you know, the ball always finds his hands. You know, Quincy Guerriere, I mean, he had 10 rebounds the other night. He's really good at it. And so I just think it's just coming up with those loose balls, and you know, I don't want to say it's luck, but it really is, and they haven't done well with that. It's going to cost you against really, really good teams, though. You either got to go get it or you don't, and that's why I personally think, because Illinois played well enough to win the other night. They just did not come up with enough loose balls for me, and it's not from lack of effort. I do think they're trying.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting how Valpo you know, the first half, they were their points per possession was 1.154, which is not very good for Illinois. It's a very nice for Valpo, but then in the second half, Illinois held them to 0.487, and you know, you just saw the total difference there when a team, you know, shoots 20% in the second half, 9 for 45, over 8 from the three. And they only shot one free throw and three free throws, and they only went 1 for 3. So that was a, you know, taking a team from 42.9% in the first half shooting percentage down to a 20 in the second half, 30% overall is a pretty impressive effort from the Illini. And they were doing that without Coleman Hawkins. And for those people who, you know, there's a lot of people who just don't like Coleman Hawkins, and I'm not always certain, you know, what it is, because there's plenty of players over the years who've taken rough shots, who've been up and down players, but somehow he gets an awful lot of venom. And that first half, you know, told me that he's maybe worth an awful lot more than many Illini fans are willing to admit.
You know what? I wrote a piece for Illini guys that's going to be running here on Coleman. And, you know, I get it. I understand. You know, people are frustrated. I knew he was hurt in the Marquette game. Wasn't my responsibility to say anything about that. But at the end of the day, you know, when you lose players, and some people, because they get frustrated with their play, you be careful, because you look at last year's team. You know, if you had Kofi last year, you win the first round of the NCAA tournament game. You win more games. And so I'm not saying Coleman Hawkins is Kofi, so don't say that. I'm putting words in your mind. But he is serviceable. And has he struggled? Yeah. The biggest thing with him for me, and I think it would frustrate fans, he's just not very consistent on the offensive end of the floor. I think people would really like to just see, like, Terrence Shannon, you know you're going to get 14, 16, 18 points. You know that is going to happen all the time. And as a four-year player, Mike, that's what I think people are frustrated with. And then the five turnovers, you know, didn't help. But, you know, when you're not feeling well or you're hurting, you know what? I get it. And I know some people are thinking, well, if he was hurting, then he shouldn't have played. Well, against a team like Marquette, who I think from what I've seen right now, they probably are one of the top two or three teams in college basketball. I mean, they look really, really good. So I you know, but going back to Coleman, you know, I know people are frustrated, and you know, hopefully he can figure this out, and you know, he can become more consistent. He can get healthy for number one. But I'm not going to say bash the kid, but I get why people are frustrated. I really do.
Yeah, and like I said, I think people may appreciate a little more. There are a lot of things that Coleman does that don't really enter into the box score, and he is a very good defensive player, and when he's not there, that really makes it quite the difference for that Illini team. And, it was good in the second half when the rest of the team, you know, pulled together and locked it down, and let's hope that his knee, Coleman's knee, is feeling better, because they may not need him much against Valpo, Southern, or Western Illinois, but, you know, in just a couple Saturdays when Rutgers and then Florida Atlantic and Tennessee, those three games on December 2nd, 5th, and 9th, they are going to need Coleman Hawkins.
Yes, and then I think the fans are really going to realize and see how important he is, because if he wasn't playing, you know, I think you see it. And, you know, one of the things I put in my article, the offense, it runs through him. I mean, he is the centerpiece in the way he directs traffic and at the high post, and they expect him to make passes. But you know what? And I think maybe that's why they're resting him now, you know, and that's a good thing, because the other players stepped up tonight, you know. Luke Goody is – I know a lot of people are really critical of his defense. It wasn't bad for me tonight. And I think against Marquette, I think it was a bad matchup. But Marquette – a lot of people didn't match up well with Marquette the other night. I think Luke Goody is going to be very, very serviceable for them. If he can stay healthy – I mean, he's only been injured once, so I shouldn't say that. But, you know, with him and Marcus Dormas and Terrence Shannon, those are three guys that are really good shooters – that can put the ball in the basket. And then if you get Coleman when he's on, that gives you four, you know? And so, but the reason I like the team is because think about what we said. They're tall, they can defend, they do have shooters. I think some people are really mad because they shoot so many threes. Do you realize when Illinois plays basketball, Brad Underwood's philosophy is this, and you know what, listen to press conferences. You can ask Brad Sturdy when he joins us. Brad Underwood runs teams off the three-point line. Bill Self said it. Everybody, the Oakland coach said it. They don't like to give up threes, you know, but teams like to give Illinois threes. And if you're wide open, you have to shoot those. So it's not people thinking they're just chunking a bunch of threes. There's a difference between shooting bad threes and open threes. And are they making a high percentage of them? It's not terrible, but people are making a big deal because they're 33 attempts. I don't know how many attempts they had tonight. 28.
Yeah.
They're open. How many threes did you really, really see force? Because if you got to shoot them. You can say there's a few that you probably shouldn't have shot. But Luke Goody passed up tons of them.
Yeah, he had a couple that I would have taken, and I suck. So yeah, that was I thought he did a good job. I got a question about Gary A. Had 2 points tonight, 1 for 7, 5 rebounds, 0 for 5 from the three. I thought he had some opportunities to go inside at times. And I guess he just prefers to play out around the 3-point line, but I'd love to see him be a little bit more inside to out. And because he's got the physique and he can bang and get the boards, I'd like to see him a little closer to the basket and go up and use that athleticism for nice post moves, et cetera.
I'm not saying you know, I have a degree in lip reading, which there's no such thing, but I did, we could read right under his lips tonight. He wants him to keep shooting. He knows he's in a slump. He got to shoot his way out of it because he's not a great shooter, but he is pretty consistent and he is struggling. And tonight against a team like Valparaiso, when you got a lead, I think Brad put him back in the game for that reason alone, just to sort of see if he can knock one down, because you're right. I mean, he is a banger, but he struggled, you know, the last couple of games, and so coaches see that. So they're going to continue to give him those threes until they knock him down. I forget which game it was early in the year. He had one three that was huge in the game.
Yep.
It was in a corner. So having said that, I think it was Oakland. So he can do it, Mike. I just think right now, I think he's trying to shoot his way out of it. And truthfully, I wouldn't mind seeing Draymond Kills Longhorn do the same thing. They're good shooters. They are. They just got to get a couple to go down, because when those go down, the whole, and free throws, the whole game changes. Illinois looks different.
Yep. I totally agree. It was also nice to see, you know, Terrence Shannon obviously just do Terrence Shannon things, but, you know, got his free throws going. And I thought that was good. And the other thing is, very quietly, you know, Ty Rogers ended up with 10 points, 7 rebounds, you know, 2 assists, 2 turnovers, made 2 for 2 from the free throw line. But I thought he had one of those quiet games where he just kind of helped out. He's kind of like the ultimate glue guy. He just kind of did what was needed when he was out on the court.
Here's my thing with Ty. Mike, you're bringing up all these points. And for the listeners out there, I mean, I didn't know Mike was – he didn't give me the agenda. But I want to talk about Terrence Shannon. He was another guy that I want to talk a lot about, because people are negative about this point guard thing. Let's face it, he's not a three-point shooter. That's not his game. But I would challenge anybody on the team other than him and Terrence Shannon Jr. with the ball in their hand in the open court, there's nobody on their team better than Ty Rogers and Terrence Shannon. He is really good at it. He can put it on the floor. He's looking up, and he doesn't turn over a lot. I mean, he just doesn't, you know. And, yeah, we can say, well, we need that point guard, and you do, you know. I would love to see a guy who's a point guard that can shoot threes and to, you know, I guess I'm just going to say shoot threes, because he can get to the basket, and he handles it well enough. That's probably the biggest surprise for me, is the way he can handle it. I thought that would be a concern, you know. And he's not playing a ton of minutes there, but I don't have a problem with it. I think he's going to do fine. And I think the more he plays, like tonight, he had, like you say, he had a quiet 10 points, the better he's going to get. He's going to look to score. And if he's shooting layups, 10 points is 10 points. I don't care if he's shooting from the free throw line or they're underneath the basket. It's not like he's not giving you anything. And he's really good at rebounding. He's another good guy that you can get on the glass. So I like it. The only thing about it, though, is that because he's learning it, I noticed the other night against Marquette, he doesn't get back a lot. And I think that was another reason for them to leak out, to get some of those fast break points. But he's learning on the job, and I think he's serviceable. It's not like he is hurting Illinois by playing it. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm with you. I think overall, like I said, I think the point guard by committee is going to have its moments, like the 2 steals on Damascus earlier in the game. But, you know, you're going to have times when your real point guard gets the ball stolen from him. So I have less concern, Ked, about the point guard by committee than I do the 3-point shooting percentage and the free throw shooting percentage, if you're going to ask me to prioritize what I'm concerned about right now.
Okay, let me ask you this, because the 3-point shooting doesn't bother me, but I want you to tell me which bothers you more, the free throw or 3-point? Because for me, it is free throws. I cringe watching that, because it's contagious. That's tough for me, because they are not a bad shooter. Even like, okay, look how well and how good Luke Goody shoot. There should be games to me. If you're only going to shoot 4 free throw attempts, they should be 4 for 4. Even a guy like Marcus Domas and Terrence Shannon, he missed 5 in one game this year.
Yeah.
That's what concerns me.
Yeah, the free throw shooting definitely is a big concern, because again, you know, out of 24 free throws, you'd like to hit 20 of them, you know, roughly in that range. And if you want to go down as low as 18, that's fine. But you know, that gives you six more points. Well, this game, six more points doesn't mean very much. Six more against Marquette, that means quite a bit. And
it
and,
does.
And those are big. The other thing, though, the reason the three point concerns me, and of course I'm always the one who's more concerned about this because I was probably more of a defensive coach than you and Brad are. You guys could coach offense much better than I ever could. But I always felt like the three pointers, if you're shooting, you know, 30% or 33%, it's very critical when you shoot those in the shot clock. And I just don't like it sometimes when they come down, they're not great three-point shooting team, and you shoot one with, let's say, 7 seconds into the clock, and now all of a sudden you're trying to get a break from playing defense, and now you're out defending against a fast break right away, you know. And so I know I'm, you know, putting two factors into one, and it's not always the same, but that's the one thing that really concerns me. But again, you know, if they get the three pointers falling, you know, then you don't worry about it because it puts you on that roll that can knock teams out of games as well.
My thing, Mike, when I coach, I told my team, just as a team, good shooting teams, minimum, you have to shoot 70% as a team, and you have less than 14 turnovers in a game, you're going to always be in the hunt. You will always give yourself a chance and to out-rebound the team by at least five. And that's what you need to do. Right now, Illinois is a 60% free throw shooting team, I believe. I don't know what the rebounding margin is. And you have to value the basketball. I mean, when because if you don't value, possessions matter. You only get so many in the game. And if you play teams that like to grind it out, you don't get quality possessions, it costs you points. That's why I think that this team, when they're all clicking, because they haven't done it. You know, Justin Harmon is a really good player. He's turning into a robot. I want to see him look to score. You know, and they're not going to all play great every night. I understand that. But this team is good enough to have at least three or four guys score double figures every night because they're older. And tonight, you got that. And, you know, you didn't get it from Quincy tonight. You know, and that's okay because at some point, you know, the shots might not fall for Luke Goody. You know, and then we mentioned Coleman Hawkins because, you know, yes, he's streaky. That's just the best way to explain it with him. You know, again, the most consistent player, it probably is Terrence. I mean, there's no doubt about it. People don't like seeing him go downhill, but I'd rather see him do that and force the issue than not get shots up and watch people pass the ball around the perimeter and throw it away.
He's got to go. I think he's got to take it downhill, even if people are a little frustrated. The way the referees are instructed to call the game this year, it's quite honestly, it's foolish not to do that, especially with the jets that he has. You know, he gets going downhill. There are going to be games. I'm not saying it's going to be every game. There's going to be games where he shoots 15 to 20 free throws just because teams can't keep him in front of him.
Oh, yeah, and I've heard coaches complain, you know, when you're sitting at press row, quit belling him out. I mean, this is kind of like the Kofi Coburn syndrome, but it's different because he's not 7 foot and 320 pounds, but he does get fouled a lot, and that's his game. I mean, and I like him. I think he brings a lot to the table, and I know he shot a mid-range shot. I know it didn't go in, but I've seen him, you know, shoot it in a couple of those practices we got to see earlier. You know, in the year, that's teams are making him shoot it, but they can't stop him getting to the rack. And Brad draws up really good sets for him to get to the rack, or at least it comes within the framework of the offense. I just wish there was times when you could draw plays or set up sets, or maybe not to draw them up, call out sets to get everybody involved. Like there was a play tonight where I think Terrence Shannon drove to the basket out of a timeout, kicked it out to Luke Goody. He didn't make the three. But I knew that was designed because it came out of a timeout. So I think Brad wanted to give Luke another opportunity to break his career high. So I would set up things like that for me with all my players. And that's what I thought Roger Powell did well tonight. I thought Roger did a really good job. He just got beat by a more talented team tonight.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I thought Powell did a very nice job. And you can see that he is going to have a future in front of him. You know, that will be limited by only by his desire. You know, he definitely has learned a ton from Mark Few. And then I think, you know, whether people, he couldn't recruit that well, but I really think Bruce Weber can coach X's and O's with just about any coach on the planet.
I remember when, it's funny you mentioned Bruce Weber, I remember when it became public that the Illinois, or not the Illinois coaches, excuse me, the Division I coaches could hire another guy on staff. A lot of people wanted Illinois or Brad Underwood to hire Bruce Weber.
Oh, I was on podcast saying that.
Okay. Because, I mean, it makes sense. And, you know, I think he would have helped out. You know, it couldn't hurt. But, you know, I guess I get it. I understand because he's been a head coach. And some coaches like to stick with what they like. But I think, again, I think that would have been great. Not that Brad's bad with X's and O's. I'm not saying that. But I think some guys are just really masterful coaches during timeouts and running sets. And one of the things I liked about Bruce Weber, he would always, you know, slip a screen for James Augustine when people weren't expecting it. So just little wrinkles like that, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, no, I missed that. I would particularly like, you know, when a point guard like Marquette's goes really, really hot on you, that's when you set a pick on him. And you start getting him to guard guys that he doesn't want to guard and take advantage and make him work on the defensive end and get a foul or two and take his rhythm off, you know. And those are the things that, you know, you like to see. And some of that Weber was a master at, you know. And but anyway, it's any other final thoughts here before we let you go, Ked?
What I want to see them do before they get to the heart of the schedule is to gel. I don't want to sit and have one of these podcasts and then people get frustrated. I want to see them gel. I want to see them do what they're supposed to do and be the team that people really think this team possibly could be. So that's what I'm really looking forward to the most, Mike, right now. Again, don't lose sight because you beat Valpo tonight. Yes, you should have won, but look at all across college basketball. Not all the teams that were supposed to win, they're winning. Again, you know, Michigan got beat at home and they gave up 94 points, I think, to Long Beach State. It could be the other way around. So take it and don't apologize for it and move on until they play Southern this Sunday.
Yeah, and I do think that is a, that's a quick turnaround, which I think the Illini need, you know, I think they need to have a nice quick turnaround game, give them a little bit, you know, get them, push them a little bit here. And I think it also allows them to maybe see if some of these guys can reach down and figure out what they need to do to improve. And also maybe when you're going back and you're a little tired, you don't have time to think and get yourself into trouble and get in your own brain. You just got to turn around and go play.
Yes, and I think that's, truthfully, what you said. I wish Coleman Hawkins would listen to this podcast because that your last sentence is exactly what he needs to do. Just go play. Don't think things, just go play. I think Draymond Longhorn needs to just go play. I think those two guys bring a lot. Justin Harmon, just go play.
Yeah, and I thought what Coach Powell said at the half was really good because they asked him, you know, the young kid asked him about what he told him to do. And he said, go out and play basketball and have fun. And he said that they went out and they had fun. And you could tell he was nervous that fun time was over. But the interesting thing is they played very relaxed. And then in the second half, when Illinois started coming at him at a higher level, you could tell that they were going down and they knew like, oh, we got to make this shot. We got to make this shot. And that is when you know how it is. The worst thing you can do in golf is start pressing. If you start pressing and you're not relaxed out there, that's when golf gets to be an incredibly, incredibly hard sport. And I think sometimes shooting and basketball is the same way.
Yeah. Hey, before I go, I think Nico Moretti deserves credit too. I was impressed with him tonight. He's a little quicker than what I thought, and he was very serviceable for them in the first half. Is he the answer long-term? Probably not. but I think he, I have to give him credit. I think he did a good job of coming in and running the point, and he really does try to find people. So I have to give, you know, kudos to him too.
Yeah. The other things that just come to mind here is, you know, Coleman Hawkins, you know, with the knee issue, hope, you know, if it's something like tendonitis where it's day to day, the good thing about it is you can play on it. The bad thing about it is it hurts all the time and it doesn't necessarily get better other than rest. And there's not a lot of rest on this schedule for the Illini.
No, hopefully they'll give us an idea of what it is, but I doubt it because, you know, the University of Illinois, it's like double secret agent 99, get smart information to get things from them. I know that doesn't make any sense, but you're not getting anything from that university about any injuries.
Yeah, and then the other thing is they've got to figure out something to start games faster. And I used to coach with an old coach who had won, you know, multiple state titles, my father-in-law. And whenever he warmed up the team, he made them run and would get them, you know, in warmups, they would actually break a sweat like a boxer would. And he was certain that if you didn't break a sweat and if you weren't sweating by the time that the game started, he said, if you had to, you know, use the game to get you sweaty, you were in trouble. And I don't know if I'd maybe do a little different type of warm-up or something to get them going. But I will say that whenever he coached our team, first off, I won a lot more games. And second thing is we didn't start games slow because they were always ready. I don't know if the old guy scared the heck out of them or what, but maybe try something different to stop that first half lulls that they get into. Yeah.
Mike, I had one team that I coached that did that to me. And I just thought long and hard, what can I do to jumpstart it? You know what I did? I started pressing. I got them moving. I started pressing. I went 1-2-2. I went man. I'd start because it forced them to move. It forced them to be aggressive. Then I know Brad's not going to do it. And I mean, some coaches, the way they are. And for me, I would do anything to win a game. And because that's why you keep score. Truthfully, I'd have played the zone the other night against Marquette. I'd have gave it a chance. They carved the inside of that lane up. Give it a chance. If they're a great three-point shooting team and they didn't shoot a great the other night, you might get a win. But to answer your question, get out and put pressure on teams. You know, or if you don't want to press, run sets or certain different looks to give people easy shots. That's how you avoid that. That's how I did it. Because you're not going to come out on, you know, and, you know, to be aggressive all the time or shots aren't going to fall. But you can darn well get layups because they traditionally go in, or you get to the free throw line. That's what I would recommend.
Yeah. No, that's a good thing. Well, Ked, we appreciate you coming along. We're going to have Brad Sturdy step in here in the next few minutes. But thanks so much. And of course, folks, if you enjoy, Ked's stuff. Obviously, he's at IlliniGuys.com. He was one of the first guys. He's been here since day one as our director of recruiting. He's also at WQAD.com for Channel 8 up in the Quad Cities. So you can find his stuff there as well. And Ked will be at the Hawkeye game tomorrow. We'll have a couple podcasts tomorrow after that game. And, of course, then Sunday we'll have another podcast because Illinois will be taking on Southern. So you're going to be hearing a lot from the Illini guys along with, you know, Kedrick and Brad and Matt and myself. We're looking for an exciting weekend. Got our fingers crossed for a victory tomorrow. We know it's going to be a very, very tough sled in Iowa City. And then, you know, we get very fortunate as Illini fans. Maybe we'll see a three-peat here over the weekend and get three victories. That would be a lot of fun.
There'd be a lot of fun. And also, don't forget, your Fighting Illini women take on the Notre Dame Irish on national TV at noon Central Standard Time tomorrow as well. So
that'll be before the Illini game. So you can watch the women at noon. And then watch the men at 2:30. That would be for the football team. That would be a great way to spend a Saturday afternoon.
Yep. Hopefully they'll have Mariah Cook back. I got my fingers crossed.
Yeah. It'd be nice to see Makaira back out on the court. Hopefully she's feeling better. Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across this great nation or halfway across the planet, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Whether it's game results or what's going on in recruiting behind the scenes, IlliniGuys.com covers it. Only $99 a year, and you get a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button that's right next to the 7-day free trial, and we'd love to have you as a subscriber. IlliniGuys.com. And this is Mike Kegley back here, as promised, with Brad Sturdy, the Illini Guys Uber Insider. Brad, quite a game here. First half, Valparaiso and the Rev put quite a scare into the Illini. And then the Illini, you know, were like the Empire Strikes Back in the second half. But first half-wise, what was going through your mind as you were covering this game? Because you've covered a lot of games, but that was about as screwy of a first half as we've seen.
Yeah, boy, they did not play well. Illinois didn't have any energy. You know, it actually, I was sitting there on courtside. There were the first, like, two or three possessions, I could see it because it wasn't always about the score. Valpo was beating them to loose balls, getting offensive rebounds. Even if they didn't make it, they were getting it second chance, and that's just effort. On the other hand, Illinois wasn't. And then you give them a little life, and then, you know, the one kid, you know, 19, he went off, right? I mean, he had in the first half, he was basically unguardable by the guys who were trying to guard him. And in the second half, you saw them switch Terrence Shannon on him. So, but Illinois just has to defend better. I think the biggest issue, like a lot of people, like, you know, they scored, well, I think it was 37 in the first half, 50 in the second half. That's good enough. I'm not that disappointed in the offense.
Right.
That's with them missing a ton of free throws, a ton of layups, you know, some of them uncontested, and a lot of wide open shots. So, yeah. You think of dunk. And then, but defensively, you have to be better than that. In the second half, they were lights out defensively, as much like the game against Oakland when they just turned it on defensively at the end. It's great that you can do that, but you have to bring it for 40 minutes when you start playing better teams. We saw that against Marquette. That transition defense early in the game really hurt them. It allowed them, basically allowed Marquette to end up winning the game. Those points mattered just as much as the ones at the end.
Yeah, no. What do you think, what does a coach do about these slow starts?
Well, there are a lot of different things. I think sometimes maybe it's putting, starting with a different lineup, and they tried that tonight. It still didn't work. Maybe establishing something early on. You know, first, you know, run a set play the first possession that you know you're going to get a post-touch, or you're going to get something going downhill, maybe get the line, something like that, or get your best shooter a wide-open three. You know, something like that on that first possession to kind of get them into it. Maybe come with a little bit more full-court pressure early in the – you can do that. I mean, that's another option. Because sometimes the teams that don't put as much pressure on, you know, they don't play as hard because they're not playing as much pressure. And you try to – and I know you don't want to get foul trouble. Maybe just a token, like, little thing just to get the game, get your guys moving. And so that's those are a few options. Yeah, and then, like Underwood said, maybe I need to be more rah-rah in the locker room. I don't know if that works for 23-year-old guys. We'll see. But, you know, I guess it's worth a shot.
Well, yeah. You know, they've been – excuse me. They've had some very tough starts, and that's something that they'll – and that's like trying to crack the combination to a safe when you don't know it to try to get that thing to go around. Have you ever seen a team, you know, Valpo was scoring at a 1.154 points per possession in the first half. And then in the second half ran into the proverbial brick wall at a 0.487. This Illini team, when they want to play defense, can really do it quite well.
Yeah, you know, even in the second, and this sounds crazy. I tweeted this. In the first half, Valpo had 15 made field goals, but the kicker was they had two assists. So everything was off the dribble. Everything was ISOs. Nothing was like ball movement against the only defense. So they were able to get some guys cooking on a couple, hit a couple threes. You know, hasn't made that many so far. So. These happen, you know, this happens sometimes when you're the way Illinois plays defense, because Illinois wants you to not have a sit. They want you to have to score one-on-one. And what I think you knew was going to happen, I didn't expect there to be a situations. And I think that's where you, I think Brad Underwood knew that too. And so, and I guess if a team consistently makes that, then you tip your hat and say, wow, that's impressive. And, you guys should be in the NBA. But overall, I thought the effort is the key. And CMS player, it's weird because with so many guys, you'd think there would be a push for effort. Now, I will say this. I thought that when he put those freshmen in, they played hard.
Yes.
Hansberry, Jim Lahorn, and Moretti. By the way, I thought Nico Moretti looked really good. I love the pace he plays with. Yeah, he's got to get stronger defensively. He makes a mistake. I just love the way he plays the game. I think he's going to be really good next year if he's the point guard next year. I love it. Just got to get stronger and just get acclimated to the college game. But I really like him as a player. And I thought those guys played hard, but they also made a lot of, they make a lot of those defensive mistakes. And Carter's good defensively, and then offensively they maybe take some rush shots. Or the other thing Illinois seems to like to do right now is drive to the rim, jump in the air, and instead of taking a layup, kick it out for the contested three.
Seems to be the, saw that again tonight.
Yeah, a couple times. Shannon did it once. Moretti did it once. I think Ty Rogers might have done it once, too.
He did.
And Underwood's like, shoot it. Shoot the ball. Take a layup. He's like, I don't blame him. You got to take two. Of course, as they were missing layups, maybe they're thinking, hey, we got a better shot at three. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that's – but are we getting the Luke Goody that we thought we were going to get last year before that injury at the Kansas scrimmage derailed it?
Yeah, I think we are. I mean, his two games in a row, he's been really good. I mean, Luke Goody can really shoot basketball. He's 6'7", he can really shoot it. And that's what he can do. And what I think he's getting better at, though, is playing defense. He's getting better at understanding positioning and angles and understanding how to do that. He's never going to be like a lockdown elite defender.
Right, but I agree.
He can be a solid defender. And if he's a solid defender, he spaces the floor so well for guys like, whoever it is, for Shannon to get to the rim. And having him and DeMoss really opens up the driving lanes for Terrence Shannon, and especially in transition if Luke will run the floor. It allows Terrence to get to the rim. And do those things. So this is, that's where I think that Luke has got to play. I think he's kind of pushed him, personally, I think he's pushed himself ahead of Quincy a little bit just because of his offensive output for a team that struggles to score. So this is, and I think that's impressive. I think that's what he can do. And if he continues to shoot the ball at like a 40% plus clip, he's really going to help Illinois.
Yeah, and I thought Dane, he still, has his trouble where you there just feels like you don't want him on the floor at the end of a half because he's, 0-for-6 from the free throw line. But boy, when you shoot 8-for-10, you get 7 rebounds, you don't have a single turnover. That's a pretty impressive 16-point output for Mr. Danger.
Yeah, just think he's 19-7 if he just makes half his free throws.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I don't know. I mean, Underwood talked about post game how he just there's a click. I don't know. I've talked to them about that, the coaches, about what I think it is. Because this is a guy who could shoot when he was in high school. I mean, that's the weird part about it. I mean, it's like he shoots free throws like, Steve Sachs throws the first base, back in the day, or whoever, one of those guys. So it's just, it's just a weird dynamic. And Chuck Knoblauch, Steve Sachs, they just get in their head, they can't throw. Root, and for guys who don't watch, baseball, that would be like, or maybe Major League, Root, who could throw back to the pitcher.
Yep, exactly.
You got the yips, and he can't make free throw. But he played extremely well. I mean, he is such a... He's very good when you don't double him. And they didn't double him. Allowed him to go one-on-one. He was able to rip through on a couple of drives where, they actually ran a play where they ran back-to-back out-of-bounds play. Everybody talks about how bad Illinois is out-of-bounds play because they lob it in, blah, blah, blah. They ran an out-of-bounds play. They ran a screen guy coming off there, and then basically Goody kind of was the guy's secondary screen. And after they got help, Goody slides out and drains the three. Next possession, throw it to Dane. Guy comes off the handoff, and Dane just rips through and goes to the rim and scores. Those are out-of-bounds scores. I know it maybe wasn't like when you ran it in junior high and you set like a screen for the screener and you got a wide-open layup.
Yeah.
But it was still a basket on an out-of-bounds play. And so, yeah, I just, you know, so those are the kind of things Dane can do. And when he's doing that stuff, you know, because you know he can score back to basket, especially if he gets the ball deep. And he's making better decisions. And then that was good. He didn't do that against Marquette. Remember, they told him, I think it was against Marquette, he put it there. And they told him not to dribble. First thing he did was, like, dribble four times and turn it over. So,
yeah, I was going to say, he's a three-dribble guy. By the third dribble, he dribbles into problems.
Yeah, he's three-dribble max. I mean, that's got to be it. And if it isn't more than that, then you go do it. But he's a valuable piece. He knew he's going to play more minutes with Coleman out. And so, yeah, he's got to play well, and he did.
Yeah, and the question, I guess, Domask seemed like he was a little out of sorts after he got hit hard. Did that seem to shake him up a little bit, or was it just one of those games where, you know, he kind of went with the flow and didn't force much?
I thought, you know, early on he made a couple of really, really bad turnovers where he just got, you know, just a lazy pass, getting stripped on his bed. Took him out. He came back in. Now, that's the good thing about a guy his age, who's older. He can get off to a bad start,
yep.
And then realize that they come back in, and then, you know, he finishes. Then you look at the end. He had those. At one point, he had 0 points, zero rebounds, zero assists, and three turnovers.
Yeah.
You look at the end. He's got 7.6 rebounds and three assists to go with his three turnovers. So that's what he. You know, that's having veteran guys that can kind of recalibrate themselves, reset, because you're never going to be perfect. You're going to have mistakes. Everybody makes them. Part of basketball, part of life. But, you know, being able to rebound, come back, and then finish with what ended up being a decent floor game is really why you have veteran guys. That's why you have old guys, and that's why how they're able to help.
Yes, I agree. Anything on the play of any of the other players that jumped out at you that you wanted to talk about?
Well, I think Hansberry, so I'll just talk about kind of the future guys. Like, I think you saw from Monty Hansberry what he can be. You know, he's got to learn how to score,
yep.
Against the side, but the kid can rebound. He's getting better defensively. He's long. He's able to, you know, contest things. And he can shoot a little bit, but man, this guy has a nose for the ball. And that's a valuable piece moving forward. I thought, you know, I thought he looked really good. Draven gives Lahorn, you know, he missed the one layup, but that was basically uncontested. But, you know, he shows off that athleticism. That move he made when he jumped in the air and he pulled it back and then finishes.
Yep.
You can't teach that. I mean, people can't hang in the air and jump that high because most humans can't do that. And so he could. And so you see the upside. He's still got a lot to learn about shot selection and how to play and things like that. That's what we told you before the season. There are going to be games where he doesn't look very good. So I was very pleased. Those guys, I thought, obviously, Goody coming off the bench showed you what he could do. Justin Harmon is kind of that guy. And I'm not saying he's this good yet, but he's a little bit like Andres Feliz was, in the sense that he always is around the ball. He's not the scorer Feliz was, but, man, he just gets his nose in there. He finishes the game with 7 points, nine rebounds, a couple assists, and he ends up, you know, a plus 21 on the plus minus. Only guy who's behind was Shannon, who's plus 25. Yep. So this is, I mean, that's what you, you know, people are like, well, I thought he was, people said he was better than they thought. Well, if you can get that kind of production from a guy who's basically your eighth, ninth, tenth guy, I don't know what you want more you could possibly want from him. And he is what he is. I mean, he doesn't have to be a star, but he's just got to be a good piece. And that's exactly what he's doing. And he's got to keep getting better at it. And, you know, he's played four games in an Illinois uniform. I mean, you know, let him kind of find his way. It's a new system defensively for him. It's a new system offensively. He's got things to figure out. But, you know, I think he's going to be a valuable piece when they get into Big Ten play. Man, it's great to have a guard like that coming off your bench.
Yeah, yeah, and any thoughts on, since we haven't talked about Rodgers Guerriere or a guy by the name of Shannon Jr.?
Well, Terrence was the best player on the floor. Second half, he took over. I thought his defense was the key. He just bottled up the kid. He's best, you know, he's two-way perimeter defender. He's one of the best in the country. So the one thing I'll say about Terrence that I'm really impressed with, Terrence is much more consistent with his jump shot early on. I know he had, like, big games last year where he had the, you know, the UCLA game, what did he get, like, 8 of 9 from three?
Yep.
He hasn't had a game like that. But he's been, like, 3 of 8, 3 of 7, you know, 2 for 5. Consistently putting up good numbers, shooting 38-39% from three. If he does that all year, look out, because he can get to the rim. I do feel like he doesn't get many breaks going to the rim. I think he gets fouled more than he gets called. And I think some of that is the officials have a book on him. They don't think he's – I think he's out of control. But I thought there was one play where he got just racked on the arm, and they didn't call it. And the next time he goes to the basket, he had to almost get, you know, decapitated to get a foul call. So,
right.
I think he gets a fair shake. I thought Quincy was fine. I wonder how much sleep Quincy's getting with a newborn. You know, you almost wonder right now if he's a little tired. I thought he's a little bit. So he's struggling to shoot. I think he's shooting 8% from 3-point range thus far in the, in the 4 games. Like to see him get more done around the rim. He's missing some shots, but he's a tremendous rebounder. And so, you know, he's doing what he can do, and even when he's not making shots, he's contributing a little bit. Ty Rogers, I think this was his best game as an Illini. 10 points, you know, he rebounded. And he actually, you saw them run a couple things to both DeMosk and Rogers where they had, it was like a dribble off. They basically looked like they were going to hand off to the wing, but then they would just dribble off and come through and then go in and they would post. And they would back down that guy, basically a little bit of booty ball. And DeMosk comes across, hits Goody for a three on his, and then Rogers gets in the lane and scores on his. So you're going to see that when they get mismatches. You get smaller guards, and they can do that with those guys and at least, you know, force a mismatch, get a double team, and do that. So I was very impressed with the way Rogers played today.
Yeah, I thought he played well, and he did it quietly. He's not one to be the look at me. It's just all of a sudden you're like, he's got 10 points. You know, it just kind of creeps up on you.
Go ahead. Like you watched it play at AAU, and that's the way Ty was at AAU. You look up and you're like, oh, he got 10 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 assists. How'd that happen?
Yeah. Yeah. He was, yep. And he was a guy, to be honest with you, in the tournament that I saw down in Dallas. He was probably the second best player behind Anthony Black over a lot of people who were ranked higher than him. And when the two of them played, that was like no holds bar wrestling because neither guy wanted to lose and both guys are pretty physical. So I have never really had any Ty Rogers concerns. You know, obviously he's got things he can work on in his game, but that's every player.
Hey, he made 2 free throws. That was good.
2 for 2 was nice. We talked about that with Ked earlier, is that the free throws, Illinois did a poor job, although if you take Dane out of the equation, it's not nearly so bad.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes I think you've said it before, it's who's shooting the free throws that are just as important as the total makes and misses.
Yep, agree completely.
Any other things that jumped out at you? Post-presser, anything that you want the subscribers and listeners to know about?
Well, I mean, I think Coleman Hawkins with his, you know, has kind of a knee. He's having some issues with it. He's had it for a few weeks. He's wearing a knee sleeve. Been battling this, and you know, now I think it's really good you have these 3 games here. You know, you got Valpo, obviously. Sunday they play Southern. Have a few days off. They come back on Friday, and they play
Western.
And then they have a week off before they go to Rutgers. So I think it's very conceivable you'll see Hawkins sit out on Sunday. Let him get himself, you know, back 100% before they head to Rutgers, because they're going to need him. You saw in the first half. I mean, and I know they're great defensively in the second half. He is a really good defensive player, and he's one of the few guys that actually. You know, this is one concern I have with their defense. he helps on defense, and they're not a great help defensive team.
Yes.
They tend to lose sight of the ball, and that's one thing he's really good at. Sometimes he does get, you know, beat the post and things like that. He might commit a foul, but he's a really good defensive player. I think that's what they're going to need when they play Rutgers or when they play, you know, Florida Atlantic or Tennessee and down the road when they have these tougher games. You know, and you want him to be 100% heading into those games. And if it takes means you got to take like 7-8 days off, then I think that's what you do.
Oh, I totally agree with you. Keep him on the bike or in the pool where he can at least work a little bit on his cardio, but you've got to the challenge of those tendonitis things are a little bit like a hamstring, you know, that's hard to get them to go away the whole time. They just keep giving.
And I'll say this, one other thing I'll add, Roger Powell is just one of the best people. For those of you who've never met the guy, I know you, LA fans obviously know who Roger Powell is. They followed him, you know, back in the team that went to the national championship game. You know, he even said he had a slip up in the post game where he said, you know, our fans were really into it once they made a run. He said, oh, I said our fans. Because he's a lot of that, right? You know, he told the Illini guys that after the game that I didn't want you to win tonight, but now I'm cheering for you. So the rest of the year, make a run, go win the Big Ten, make a run in the NCAAs. And so I think he's just a class act, great human being. I got to know him more, you know, after he graduated, actually, when he was coaching at, you know, Valpo and then Tennessee, or in this Vanderbilt, and then, you know, obviously Gonzaga. So he's just a fantastic human being. And you know, I tell you what, he'll have that team. He'll recruit really well. And they're going to be good in a couple of years up there at Valparaiso.
Yeah, that much is already clear. That much is already clear. Of course, if you want to get more from Brad, of course, obviously he does Sturdy for 30. He'll do his college basketball report each weekend, and you'll be able to get that. And he's also obviously on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular, Big Sports Radio. And then he helps me out on Eye on the Illini all of the time, as we will be in action multiple times with the Iowa game tomorrow and Southern game on Saturday. We're all hoping for a Illini three-peat, but boy, tomorrow's going to be a much tougher push than that.
Yep. Illini women also put a big game tomorrow.
2 o'clock, right at noon, right on, and that's on national TV against number 16 Notre Dame. So that should be a good clash as well.
Yep, that will be. That'll be.
Yeah, anything else, Brad?
No, that's it. Hey, let's big weekend for Illinois Athletics. Got a chance to make a statement on the football field and the women's basketball court. The men have a chance to kind of, you know, continue to grow and develop over this weekend and get ready for the bigger games down the road.
Yeah, it was a good first start. Now let's see what happens in the second leg of this three-legged race, and we will hopefully see the Illini football team pull off the upset of phenomenal proportions in Iowa's home stadium over at Kinnick. That would be so cool to see. So we are all looking for that. So hold on one minute, and we'll be right back. Make sure you subscribe to the full family of Illini Guys podcasts, starting out with Eye on the Illini. That's where you can listen to myself, Brad, Ked, Matt, and others talk about the recent Illini events that are in the news. Sturdy for 30 is Brad's award-winning podcast where you can hear 20 years of people that he's made contact with to talk about all things Illini, and Ked's Recruiting Roundup where he talks to players, coaches, and parents about what it's like to be recruited. Make sure you subscribe to all of those so you're always in the know. Thank you so much for listening to Eye on the Illini. We appreciate Kedrick Prince and Brad Sturdy taking time out of their evening to talk to us about the game. And, of course, we'll be back tomorrow talking about the Iowa game. We'll also probably touch base a little bit on what happened with the Illini women. And, of course, they're playing number 16 Notre Dame. And, of course, on Sunday, we'll be back after the Illinois men's basketball team plays Southern. There'll be a whole lot of Eye on the Illini for you to catch up to. And we want to make it a fun time. And if the Illini go 3 for 3 or 4 for 4, if you throw the women in there, boy, would that be a great weekend for Illini fans. Let's go, Illini.